Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. I want to preach to you about a subject that kept me in Romania. I grew up in church. I got saved when I was 4 and a half, almost 5. I got baptized shortly thereafter. I will be 50 years old next year. And I've been in church the whole time. My earliest recollection is church. I learned all the right answers. I learned what to say, when to say it. I became the master of the right answer. Even though I was born again, I was a typical teenager. I went to church because I had to go to church. I did not have a choice. When I was 14 and a half years old, I told my father one Wednesday I was tired from working at the golf course and I thought I would stay home that day. I sat on the couch. My dad said, get in the car. I said, I'm going to stay home tonight. You just go on, have a good time at church. I'm going to stay here and rest up, and I'll be ready for school tomorrow. My dad said, stand up, son, and go to the car. I said, no, you didn't understand. I'm going to stay here. He picked me up by the back of the neck and by the belt, picked me up, carried, threw me in the car. I went to church. That's the way I grew up. Things I used to do, I still do them all the time. And I learned as I was growing up that any problem you have is a heart problem. I learned if you have a problem with not wanting to do what is right, it was a heart problem. Stand if you would, please. We're going to read one verse. Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for Emmanuel Baptist Church. Thank you for all the beautiful music tonight from the choir, from the congregational, from the specials, from the orchestra. Thank you for the Holy Spirit being here. I pray the Holy Spirit would be here now. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd send the Holy Spirit, that we would open up our hearts and our minds to hear that which you would have through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I'm just a guy. I was an accountant. I have a degree from the university up in Minnesota, not the U of M, but from Metro State University. I graduated. I was going to be an accountant. I was going to be wealthy. That's what I wanted to do. Then a missionary came from an organization that smuggled Bibles into Romania, and God began to work on my heart. And then a man by the name of Daryl Champlin came and talked to me for 3 hours. And God says, you know, you're going to do something, not in Suriname, but you're going to do something. And I started changing. Then I was in Bible college, and I led a 19-year-old young man to the Lord named Shad Panter, who had never been in church. He came, he got baptized, he was staying at our home. He asked me, he said, all these people that around the world that never hear the gospel, he said, when they die, what happens to them? I said, well, Romans 10 says, how can they hear without a preacher? I said, they're responsible for their sin and they're going to go to hell. He said, oh, that's terrible. I said, oh, that is terrible. He said, I would hate to be one of those people. I said, yes, how horrible it would be to not hear the gospel, live your whole life and not know it. He goes, no, no, no. I'd hate to be the person who's supposed to go tell them and doesn't do it. I said, God, what are you doing to me? That night, I was going to be a pastor. It's fine, I can preach, that's okay. But be a missionary, I did not want to do that. But God used people in my life and used things to change my heart, used different sermons to change my heart, where I understood. So the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What does that mean? What does it mean, out of the issues of life? Well, that's why we do what we do. Why did I become an accountant? Why do I like the Minnesota Vikings? Nobody knows that answer. Why do I like tacos? Why do I like pizza? Why do I like to preach? Why did I go to Romania? Why do I like Romanian food? Why? Those are the issues that come out of my heart. So if my heart is not kept, then I've got a problem, because that which comes out of my heart is going to be wrong, is going to cause problems. I told you this was a concept that kept me in Romania, but this wasn't the concept. Turn, if you would, please, to Jeremiah chapter number 17. We're going to go quickly tonight. I do not want to keep you long. I know it is late already. Einstein said that brevity is the sign of genius, and I will attempt to be Einstein tonight. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, wait a minute. Proverbs says we have to keep the heart, because out of the heart come the issues of life. Now, we have a problem. How can I keep my heart if my heart is lying to me all the time? No, I inserted a word in there that's not in the Bible, all the time, or a couple words. I learned that any problem for a Christian starts in the heart, because out of the heart come the issues of life. And I went to Romania. I told everybody when I was on deputation, I can't wait to get to Romania. I got to Romania and I said, what am I doing here? You know, that's the way it is. Our heart lies to us. Our heart tells us on Sunday that we need to do what's right. On Monday we go to work. And it's not quite so easy anymore. But it's not always malicious. It's not always something that's going to harm us. Look at the infomercials on TV. You need this. You must have this. If you get this little device, you will shrink your abdomen. And so you buy one and you try it and go, and your heart says, what did you do that for? Because 2 weeks ago you told me to. What happened? We're human. Our heart says yes, our heart says no, our heart says yes, our heart says no, but we have a problem with an unregenerate heart. The Bible says it is deceitful. That's a very bad word. It's a very heavy word. Now we have a problem. How in the world are we to guard our hearts? And how in the world are we to make sure that they are correct? Because out of our heart comes the issues of life. And we have this problem here where the Bible says the heart is deceitful. Well, I would submit to you tonight that you don't have to live with this heart. I would submit to you tonight that this heart, while it is a natural condition, is not the heart God wants you to have. When you get saved, you do not necessarily get a good heart. I know a lot of people who gotten saved, at least they said they did, they made a public profession, they got baptized, and their heart was just wicked. You say, well, why? Does it mean they're not saved? I don't know. That's not my job to judge them. I'm looking at myself. I was walking down the street about 6 years ago in Cluj, and I was arguing with God, and I was saying, God, you sent me here to Romania. You sent me to Cluj. I'm the pastor of this church. I've started all these ministries. Why can't I control what I think about? Because I wake up in the morning, I have my devotions, I pray, I beg you to go ahead and help me get victory over this sin, but I have these sins that so easily beset me. And I said, God, what's wrong? How come I can't get victory? And I kept coming back to this verse, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And I said, I got a problem. How am I ever going to know what I'm supposed to do if I'm battling day in and day out this problem of being unable to control what I think about, even though I memorize Scripture, even though I'm studying the Word of God, even though I want to do what's right, I fall down constantly. And I was desperate. I said, God, what is happening? I said, you're going to have to give me a clue here. Folks, I want this concept to affect everybody. If you are sitting here and you say, you know, I have sins that easily beset me. And I've had that same conversation with God. A lady came up to me one time after I taught this. She says, you know, you've been reading my mail. I said, no, we all have the same postman. We all have the same problem. Folks, let me ask you something. How's your heart? And is there a sin in your life that easily besets you, can derail you? Oh, you're in church, you're faithful, you read your Bible, you go soul winning. You're doing the works that God wants to, but something is wrong, and you always seem to get off track because your heart jumps to the front and derails your spiritual growth. That was my problem. I said, God, what is going on? Because you see, I read about David. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 11. And I'll start reading verse number 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, woman of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Now wait a minute. Remember Solomon? He's the guy who was a young man, and he was praying, and God came to him and said, Solomon, what do you want? He said, I'm a young man, and I do not know how to judge your people. And God says, well, what do you want? He said, I want an understanding heart. And God said, I like that answer. I will give you wisdom. I will give you wealth. I will give you power. I will give you everything you didn't ask for because you asked for that which was important. An understanding heart. That's one of my number one prayers. God, I want to understand. So why don't you pray for wisdom? If I understand, then I will be able to correctly use the principles in the Bible, and I will be a wise person. I want to understand. But keep going here. Verse 3, and he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart, notice this, was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David, his father. I submit to you tonight that you do not have to live with a heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and you will never know it, but you can have a heart like David that was perfect with the Lord his God. You say, does this mean I'm going to have a perfect heart and never sin? No. Look at David. We don't have to go into what his sin was. But you know the story. How he walked out and he saw Bathsheba. And he lusted after her and he took her. And she ended up pregnant. And he brought Uriah back and tried to trick him to go to his wife. And he refused. And so he had to send Uriah back. And he sent the death sentence in his hand. And Uriah was killed. David took Bathsheba. Probably thought he covered his sin. Now wait a minute. Let me ask you something. How can a man that has a heart that is perfect with who? With the Lord, his God. Do you understand what the word Lord means? The Lord means that he followed what God said to do. And here's David falling flat on his face, horribly. Nathan comes to him and tells him a story. David got mad and said, that man will die. And Nathan said, you're the man. And David was decimated. And David took out, I don't know if he had a pen, but he took out and started writing. And he wrote Psalm 51. Turn to Psalm 51, please. I'm going to read, and when I get to the place, I think you will understand what I'm going to say. Folks, I submit to you that you do not have to live your Christian life being derailed by your mind, being derailed by a lying heart, being derailed from Christian growth because God offers you something. God, folks, David was a spiritual man. I love to read about David. He was a man who didn't have the New Testament. He didn't read about the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. He never read about Acts and the great works because it hadn't happened yet. David was a spiritual man that had the Holy Spirit of God on him. And David experienced many things and he sinned. You say, well, I've never done that. I know, and I hope you never rise to the level of what David did. That would be horrible. But you want to know what? David, before he got to the sin with Bathsheba, already had a problem. Where was it? It was in his heart. Let's look at Psalm 51, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. When Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I could go through this and preach on this, but I'm just going to read. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. You notice that David wasn't saying, don't judge me, don't judge me, don't judge me, have mercy on me, don't judge me. David says, God, you're going to judge me. I understand that. But have mercy while you judge me. David wasn't running away from his sin here. He was acknowledging what he did. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. David understood something. He was telling God here, God, don't forget I'm a sinner. Don't forget I'm dust. Don't forget that I fall down a lot. I know you're going to judge me. He said, I understand that you just don't want a facade on the outside. You just don't want me to look like your person, like your man. You want truth in the inward parts. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create. What does that verb create mean? It does not mean to transform. It does not mean to rearrange. It does not mean to turn over a new leaf. It does not mean to try harder. It does not mean to be reminded of something. It means to put something there that was not previously there. When God created the heavens and the earth, He spoke, and that which did not exist, existed. David said, in a plea to God Almighty, create in me a clean heart. I was walking down the street in Cluj. I said, God, I am frustrated. I don't know what to do. Now, folks, I'm not going to tell you my sin, but I had problems controlling what I thought about. And I said, God, I don't know what in the world is wrong with me. Why do I get so angry? Why does that bother me? Why is this happening? And I thought of this here. And the Holy Spirit asked me, have you ever asked God to create a clean heart in you? I said, well, don't think so. But I didn't do what David did. Come on now. This is for people who really sin. Oh, really? So I said, Lord, as David asked, create in me a clean heart. I do not anymore want a lying, deceitful heart. Create in me a clean heart. And I prayed that every time I prayed. You say, oh, you think God is like your Buddha and you rub his belly? No, no, I don't believe that. But the Bible does say you have not because you ask not. I said, God, I don't know what this means, but I just know that I must have a problem because out of my heart come the issues of life and it just seems broken. Create in me, God, a new heart, a clean heart. Put in me that which was not there. Now, David was a man after God's own heart, and he was a man who had a heart that was perfect with the Lord his God. And he said, God, create in me a clean heart. We would call David a Christian here. He was a believer. And David was broken. Oh, he was king. Man after God's own heart, who didn't take care of it. And he said, God created me a clean heart. 4 or 5 days went by. I was sitting at my desk studying. And all of a sudden, I thought of this verse. And then I thought, and I forgot to sin. I forgot to think of those things. I forgot to get mad at those people. What happened? And so I thought, get mad. The Holy Spirit said, so you're going to go ahead and remove the clean heart because you're trying to sin? That doesn't make any sense. And I said, God, did you give me a clean heart? And you know what happened to me? Do you know what was restored in me that fast? The joy of my salvation. Do you know what I wanted to do? I want to go tell somebody. I wanted to testify. I wanted to preach. I wanted to praise the Lord. I have a man who's in my pictures. The guy I told you about that was the mafia, he was a godfather. Now when you say people get saved and get really saved, well, whatever that means is that he got changed. I mean, he got so changed. He said to me, came to me, and he was frustrated. He said, Pastor Nibby, I had a bad, unsaved life. I had a horrible, unsaved practice in every day. I know I'm born again. God has washed my sins. I'm saved by grace, not by works. I know that. But this torrent of wickedness has been flowing over me. The more I seem to try and get closer to the Lord, the more my old life comes back. He said, what do I do? He thought I was going to tell him to memorize more Bible and read more. Pray more. I said, you pray regularly. He goes, all the time. I said, when's the last time you asked God to create in you a clean heart? He said, I've never done that. I said, do what David did. I showed him this. I said, and ask God to create in you a clean heart. He said, okay. He came to me about a week later, happy as can be. I said, Raul, how was your week? He said, well, I sinned when I didn't want to. He said, but after about 3 or 4 days, I found out that I wasn't thinking about what I used to think about, and I couldn't understand why I didn't think about it, so I thought about it. I said, then what did you do? Then I said, God created me a clean heart because I just blew it. I said, what did God do? He said, I wake up in the morning and I say, Lord, created me a clean heart. I'm just a wicked old sinner. And it's not me. It's you that does everything. I don't want a heart that's deceitful. I want to know. I want to be able to keep my heart. I want the issues of my life to be correct and pleasing to you. God, would you create in me a clean heart? I said, what's happened? He said, I started getting victory over sin. I said, what happened? You still sin? He goes, yes. I said, really? I said, I'm not happy to hear that, but I'm happy to know you understand that. He goes, yeah, it's a deep well. I take out a boulder and there's another one. I take out a boulder and there's another one. I take out a boulder, and the more I take out, I find out that I do wrong and God keeps showing me things. I said, what has been the result? He said, I love my wife. He used to traffic in women. He told me he didn't like women. He said, I'm 54 years old and I love my wife for the first time. I said, how? He said, God put a clean heart in me. He said, I love my wife. I thank God for what he gave me. I love my Lord. He said, God has changed my life. As I have done nothing to deserve this. He said, and I am going to guard this heart because it's of the Lord. It's clean. God gave it to me. He said, it was the key. I said, what was the key? He said, finally trusting God and asking God to take away that which was wrong and put in its place something that was correct. Let me ask you, how's your heart? Oh, I'm saved. Good. Born again. Good. Baptized. Good. Member of the church. Good. Been saved 50 years. Wonderful. How's your heart? If you're like me, you're like this. Yes. That's what we do. Say, well, I don't like to live that way. I want to live that way. I ask God today, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Do you want to know what? I'm a sinner, folks. I fail. I make a mess of things. But God has protected my heart today. And I have the joy of my salvation. And I want to do what's right. Young people, let me ask you something. How's your heart? Adult, how's your heart? You have a sin that so easily besets you? I believe the answer lies in Psalm 51. God changed me with this one verse. Oh, I wish I was perfect. I can't wait for Jesus to come back because I'm tired of sinning. I want to go to heaven when he comes back. I don't want to go today on the next train, you know. But I can't wait. But until then, I am going to beg God as much as I can to create in me a clean heart because I don't want that deceitful one. Because it's a liar. I want my desires to be pure. How's your heart? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for how it changes hearts. Thank you, Lord, that you give us all that is necessary to live a holy life, a life that is pleasing to you. Oh, it's not by our power. It's by us admitting that we can't. It's by us turning to you and trusting in the power of forgiveness and the power of changing what we think about and the power of giving us a clean thought life and a new heart. I pray that each person here would examine their heart and would look at it honestly and say, do I have a clean heart that has been created by God Almighty? Heavenly Father, if anybody has any decision to make tonight, I pray they would make it. Amen.